Welcome to the Never Been Promoted podcast with Thomas Helfrich. Get ready for a thrilling adventure as we uncover entrepreneurial journeys and life-changing business insights every week. And now your host, Thomas.
Welcome to another episode of Never Been Promoted. Why? Because I've never been promoted. And, you know, there's a book, all this stuff's coming out. We have a guest today, Philip Bogolub. Philip, how are you?
All right, how you doing?
How you doing? Fungalungi fungalon, you know?
Hey, you know what I mean? I could do that and mix it in with the Jewish thing. I don't know. You have some guilt? You have a little guilt? That's just very good. Because I'm Jewish, so I can do both.
If you're listening to this, you can't see this because instruments in the background. He doesn't play even. He doesn't even know how to play music.
I just put him there just to screw with people.
Auto-tuner. Your name, Bogolub, means buy one, get one lubricant for free. Is that what the Bogolub translates into phonetic Russian?
Yeah. It means lover of God. My mother told me this when I was growing up, when I used to travel my last job. I went to Europe. Everybody knew it. Do you know what that means? This is my European accent, by the way. Oh, no. And I let them share. I was like, this lover of God, what a beautiful name. So I heard that many, many, many more times than my mother said it my whole life.
So that's cool. So you love the Russian God.
I love the Russian. Yeah, but I can't understand anything he's saying.
Right. But I love you. That's unconditional love, people. So here on Never Been Promoted, we talk about entrepreneurship and last names. Also, I like buy one, get one lubricant free. Bogolub. You should have a website that says bogolub.com. Your favorite Russian lubricants.
Oh, my God. I like it, actually.
This is going south quickly. Why don't you tell everybody a little about your background and your musical background? And introduce yourself because I'll ruin it.
Well, my name is Philip. Buy one, get one. L-U-B-E. No, it's L-U-B. And I actually am by trade an engineer. I was an engineer in the medical field with an MBA and worked in the manufacturing field, traveling the world, working on X-ray tubes. If you've ever been a CT scanner or an X-ray, the device that creates the radiation, I helped develop and design, and I traveled the world for many, 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 many moons, saw the world in a quite a different light. And when I was very young, I wanted to be in music, but my mother said, no, why don't you get a piece of paper? So it's all my mother's fault, as everybody blames their parents. It's usually their mother. So I end up, fast forward, company is going out of business, said, let's go after the music. Great. So that's where I'm ending up real fast. I got music. I'm a music composer. I also have a musical I've written that is in possible production right now that I'm working on. And I have a podcast called Conscious Communication. I have my philosophy called Ajnoi, which means soul knowledge, knowledge of your soul. And I also speak on that live at seminars and health clubs in the area.
Nice. Are we talking like the JCCA with the naked old Jewish guy walking around with his balls out for 16 to 17 hours per day kind of health club?
Wait a minute. You were there?
Oh, everyone has it. In my years of playing racquetball. Yes, I'm a nerd, people. I get it.
Hey, you know what? It's kind of like going to the nude beach. The people that are at the beach are not the ones that I've seen in movies.
Yeah, they don't advertise that correctly. That's bull. Just go to a European beach.
No, put your clothes back on, please.
Oh, man, that's a lot of gray hair. So you're doing a tour. So you became an entrepreneur like a lot of us do when the apparent pleasing W-2 job comes to an end.
Yeah. I mean, I was actually going to retire there. I wanted to retire. I was pretty close to pension. And I mean, I have it, but I can't use it yet. Still too young. But the point is, I thought I was going to retire. And when those things happen, I believe in serendipities, accidents, and coincidences. Sat down with my wife. We had a game plan. I quit the job. I contracted for several years while I built up the business and got a little nest egg going, which I'm still about 8 years into this now. Still using that money. And it wasn't millions, but I had a plan and I'm still doing that plan. But we'll go into any questions or comments because I don't want to go too deep in it because you've got a lot of good questions.
That's if you talk the whole time, I'm just going to change the podcast, The Love God by The God Lover. Buy one, get one free this week. Philip, if we ran that to a ground now. All right. Tell me something. In any entrepreneurial piece, you start out, you have a vision. How did you get your first customer?
I was writing a composition for somebody locally here, their restaurant, and he said, I need something catchy. How much do you charge? I didn't want to tell him the hard. I'd never charged anybody before. So I just made up some number, He said, okay, that's good enough. And I wrote, you know, like an intro, outro for one of his restaurants. It didn't really go anywhere. But again, I don't feel that anything that is a loss, there is no such thing as not enough money or too little money. It's all learning experiences. So that was my very first thing. And then I wrote a silly song with me singing in it, a cappella, and for a deli company that's local here. And they play it every year and their sales always go up. So
no soup for you.
Pretty much. Great. I got that damn character from Seinfeld in my head right now. Thank you.
Right. What's the deal with Seinfeld characters? If you say, what's the deal with Seinfeld characters? Doesn't that create an infinite loop? The Jerry Seinfeld.
This is very true. I didn't think about that. You're right. Keeps about going. Keeps going.
No soup for you. Does that mean it's fourth person if Jerry Seinfeld goes, what's the deal with these Seinfeld characters?
It just keeps going. Forever.
All right. So you wrote a jingle. You're basically Charlie Sheen from Two and a Half Men, do you have place in Malibu or no?
Oh yeah, and I have hookers and drugs, so I'm okay.
Right, but you had that before.
True.
That's right. I mean, you have them like in your basement, like you like lock them in a little room.
Oh, of course.
You're not doing.
You're not supposed to tell anybody. That was a secret.
Oh, that's okay. We'll cut that part out. Don't cut it out, Hannah. Hannah's our editor. All right. So you get your first customer. And like any entrepreneur, right? You set off with a vision. I'm going to do this. In your brain, you're trying to be as confident as possible. In your mind, you're like, I have no idea where it's going to go. How did you pivot throughout, as you got customers? Like, how, or evolve, if you don't like the word pivot?
Well, when I evolved, I found that the music compositions and that stuff was really great, but there's 8 million of them. And I started going down a couple of different roads. I wrote a musical, and then I started pushing that. I'll tell you one thing that I've learned more than anything. You try to force something. If it doesn't come naturally out of your soul, out of your mind, out of your faith and belief in what you have, out of your vision in your mind, it will fail. It will come to a screeching halt. And what I found, one of my best friends, Leanne, she goes, if it's not working, go this way. So several years later, I came out with the philosophy and I started talking on it, started getting some local customers here. It's fairly new, speaking on it live. Took about a year to get it right. Practice torturing my friend. Guy, I don't understand what you're talking about. It doesn't make any sense. I don't understand this. So now I've got a local facility here, a Good Samaritan Health Club, which is attached to the hospital, doing it there, several other places. I'm doing it at my temple. I got several students. And then I've got the musical right now, which I put on the side, going, okay, I'm pushing. It's not working. And now I've got a production company that's out of Hollywood that's interested in doing the musical. So it started up without pushing. Don't push. If you don't feel that it's something, if I try to force it, no matter what that definition is, stop.
That's fantastic advice. I meet hundreds of entrepreneurs, you know, probably more than that in a year. And hundreds of them, I would say half, are trying to do an idea that they left a job for that they didn't really like, but that's all they know. And that's how they're starting. And I can see that it's just not going to go right because passion's not there with capability and there's not a market for it or something that you can do as market. So you used to work for a big company. Now you're going to try as a small company. It doesn't work. And in your case, it doesn't work because you're forcing some vision that you don't get. And so you see the same thing on product services. But what happens is when you were telling your story, I'm just going to take a guess. When you're telling your story and your friend was like, it doesn't make sense. What are you talking? You needed to say all the things in your head, not the things you were saying out loud. Meaning like you need to tell the things and the emotions you're feeling, not the thing you were saying. Because people connect to the thing that you're not sharing.
Right, right. And
which is a different product than what you were selling, probably.
No, absolutely. I mean, it's not that I don't have compositions. That's not the point. But I had to figure out. And another thing is two things. Anybody who says they happened overnight is full of garbanzo beans. And anybody who said they didn't have help and they did it all on their own is double and triple full of garbanzo beans. We are meant to work with people. Collaboration is the key to success. Collaboration is the key to success. And also another thing, now you're interviewing me, but on my show, I'm interviewing someone. I shut my mouth, or in Yiddish, it's called vermach the moil. Shut your stupid mouth. Listen, and listen good, because you learn more from listening than from talking.
I gewalt, vox boxen. All Yiddish I know. My Jewish roommate in college, I won't say his name's Asher. He's a great guy. He's an attorney. Shocker. But anyway, he also played racquetball and squash. But he got into CrossFit, which is very non-Jewish, which is – but the point being is – sorry. He taught me the Happy Jew dance at his fraternity.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
I never quite got it. It was
you got the white man overbite. You got to have the
– yeah, but it's like if it's like – I got to have like Imagine Grateful Dead going on in the background or something, and then I got it. Jerry Garcia, God rest your soul.
Yep.
When you – on your path – and you started off like you're pretty far down the road. Tell me like maybe the 90-second pitch. What is it you're selling now in these and you're doing? So like tell me first, who's this for and what is it they get? Like give me the pitch.
Well, it's the soul knowledge and knowledge of your soul. It's finding out that your inner knowing knows what you are. Go back into yourself through spirituality, through praying and meditation, whatever you want to call it. This is what I call it in the philosophy of Ajahnoy. So you just get into yourself. You can't tell me what my passion is. You can tell me what you think my passion is, but you don't know who I am inside. So you've got to take the time being quiet and praying and meditating, like I said, or whatever word you want to do to get into that mode where you understand what you were meant to be. What are the things that we're passionate about? I love playing music when I was a kid. I never had music lessons. I have piano, guitar. I play piano, guitar, bass, and drums in our order of competency. But the whole idea is you've got to go into a scary place of not knowing. We were told from the minute we're born to the minute we're out of school, whether it's high school, college, jobs, this is how you do it. This is how you do it. This is how you do your job. And when you go on your own, whether it's retirement or you do a second job or you do what we've done, Thomas was in the corporate world. We all come from somewhere. And when I left the corporate world, suddenly I'm like, oh, I got to do this on my own. I'm my own HR person. I'm my own communicator. I'm my own. And you have to learn these things. Now, I had a lot of things that were very natural, but I had to learn certain things that was uncomfortable to me. But it's okay, because without uncomfortableness, you can't move forward. Without making mistakes, you can't move forward. Without screwing it up, you can't move forward. That's the only way it was designed to learn. So I hope I answered your question.
I do. I think when do people – okay, when should someone individually bring you in to the conversation, and what's the context? They're thinking of making a job change. They've lost it. Like, when do they bring you in, and when, like, who, sorry, when does an individual bring you in versus, and when does an organization, when should they bring you in to have a conversation? Like, when's the ideal place without you, what you do resonates the best?
What's going on in your life doesn't work anymore. And trying to reinvent the same thing over, you know, the old saying, the more it changes, the more it stays the same. It's not working. Whether it's retention at a company, whether it's a relationship with friends, whether it's a job, you know, the two things I say in the philosophy, the two things that people can relate to is a bad job, bad relationship, because everybody at some point in their life can relate to that all the time. And you feel a little better, feel a little worse, So if you want to get out of that arc, you don't have to live in the arc. You don't, unless you're Noah, you don't have to live in the arc of going up and down, and up and down, and up and down. I think that's normal. If you understand it, I can teach you through this philosophy, through this understanding of the two minds, of the informational and transformational, to understand that you have the answer. I'm not teaching you. I'm not coaching you. I don't know what you want, but you know. What I do with people is I bring out what they need, what they're looking for. I'm not giving you the answer. You've got the answer inside of you. And once that light flips on, these things come out of you like it's no kinks in the hose. It just keeps going and going and going. So that's what I'm asking for. What I'm looking for are people that are stuck. And they're in automatic mode thinking, I've tried it because Jim, John, Joni, and Susie are doing the same thing. They're successful. It's kind of like going to the grocery store and you're with the aisle, going down the aisle going, that person looks healthy. I think I'll buy what they're buying. You don't have a clue what's going on inside their mind.
Yeah.
So that's what
I wish you would have said Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John there. But yeah. You could have.
I could have.
So you said you have no kinks in your hose.
I'm not kinky. That I don't know. I don't know how to take that.
I heard some kind of, there's no kinks in your hose. Is that what, can I use that as a, Is the thumbnail? Phil has no kinks in his hose.
What I meant
when the Otter translation gets done with this, it's going to say he said kinks and hose. And earlier they referenced, he referenced his hookers. So when the AI picks up the translations of this, it's going to be confusing.
The kinks in the hose, to explain that, was
HOSE.
When you have that soul knowledge, when you have that experience of going through the universal mind, spirits, and angels, when you're relaxed, when you're at one with yourself, when you're understanding that everything's inside of you and you're not running around trying to get everybody else to tell you what you think you're supposed to do. That's what I mean. No kinks in the hole.
And you're right. Everyone can relate to bad relationship, bad jobs, but also bad experiences in the United States Post Office, which should be defended.
That's ongoing.
They've lost the last two packages I've sent.
Really?
I don't
know. How do you do that?
A golf club and a collector bobblehead to a friend of mine who's, you know, and a client of ours too, that his son's like, you know, going to a hospital for heart transplant and he loves the Braves. I sent it to him and they freaking lost it. Anyway,
I don't know how they've done
that. United States Post Office, defund, hashtag defund the post office. All right. What are three things? I already wrote this book, so you can make up anything here. It'd be great if you'd mentioned a few of them, but you haven't read the book because it's not published yet. But here's the thing. What are three things you wish you would have known before starting this entrepreneurial journey?
The three things I wish I would have known. It's not going to look like what you think it's going to look like from the beginning. Easy. It's not easy, but it's not painful. And there's no suffering. I thought there was suffering. You had to suffer. You had to work 75 hours a week. And No. I get more done in 4 hours than I've ever done in an 8-hour day at my old job, because I had to learn a different way and understand that this is a personal thing now. It's different when somebody else is writing the check. Something goes wrong, you go to the next customer. You are the representative of everything you do, however you do it. Not everybody's going to like you, and you're going to get a small niche of your business in the world because there's enough to go around for everybody. But be patient. That's more than three.
I know. I think I hit all those in one chapter. No, there's definitely be patient and right. Expect change, embrace change. Change. I think I wrote one of the chapters is around uncertainty and how it's actually one of your weapons. And if you can embrace uncertainty, you'll be faster to get things right, faster to pivot relative to your competition, and you'll align hopefully what you described there, your passion to it. And the reason you get 4 hours done, what you get done in 4 hours took you a week to get done probably the other place, is there's no other noise. You're like, that's the only thing I need to go do right now that matters. I don't have to do a report. I don't have to do anything else. I don't even have to get dressed.
I'll ask you a question. I'm going to flip it out to you. I'll ask you a question. Do you enjoy every single process and procedure that you do in your business, of every single thing? No. Do you?
No. But I don't look at it as work either. I get up every day and I work way harder than I ever did before, but I love every, so I don't feel like I'm working.
Right. But it takes a lot of mind energy.
Yes, I have a question for you.
Well, it's your show.
You should be quiet. You should listen. Here's the problem. I love to talk. That's my passion. Riddle me that one, big boy. How do I do that, BOGO love?
Well, there's a certain process of procedure I'm teaching people to be able to listen better. And it's an imaging technique. I can kind of describe it to you, but it's much better showing you, but I'll give you an idea. So do you know what an oscilloscope is?
A Priscilloscope?
No, an oscilloscope. Oscilloscope. No?
I do not.
Oh, okay.
Oscilloscope. I think it's kaleidoscope, but cooler.
Nope. Yes, that's true. So I'll give you a better example of what that really does. The equipment that when you plug it in a machine and you start talking through a microphone or something, that it starts giving those waveforms going up and down. Okay, so that's what tracks that stuff. So I have a teaching that I do. It takes about 15 minutes. And to be able to listen better in the imagination of the mind, in the motion picture screen of your mind, that when Thomas is talking, to better listen, because your mind's always going, I think I got a better answer. I got to write down. I'm not. When is he going to stop talking? I don't want to forget this. So if you picture every word and focus on your lips moving and the volume coming out of your mouth, that frequency going, because it's just a frequency that gets our minds going to understand it. It's an energy that comes across. If you picture that as an oscilloscope, this waveform going up and down, and you're listening to that point and focusing on that image, that every word you say is a little image coming out, that's the best way. I have found this trick to work so well. And when I drift, I go right back to it. When I drift, I go right back, so I can listen much better that way.
I had technology every meeting, and it tells me when I'm on a monologue. That's what I go with. let's take this next level. So in that same journey, right, what are three things you wish you had not had done?
Oh.
You can only pick three.
Well, the three. First of all, worry. Fear.
What, you wouldn't have feared? You would have had less
wouldn't
fear.
Have been a scared,
I think those are related. I'm going to call those as one answer. Worry,
okay,
fear.
Okay. I would. Well, worry and fear. I guess you're right. You could do that. So I'll say worry and fear is one. getting up at 2 o'clock in the morning and thinking about something over and over again that maybe I should do this, maybe I should do that, maybe it's not doing me any good. Also, one of the big ones for me, and I think for a lot of people, you did something yesterday you want to take back. Well, guess what? What you did stopped at midnight the night before, and you can't go back. You don't want to bring your past into the present, which makes your future the past. And that's a big one for me. That's a huge one for me. Move on. Learn from the mistake, because it's not a mistake. It's a learning experience. Don't focus on that. If you didn't do it, you wouldn't go forward.
I'll expand that idea of past as your future. If you, for me, I know personally, I was nothing wrong with some of my friends I have. Nothing. They're good people. They're fun. But I needed to distance myself from the complacency of which they live. And I don't mean that mean.
Right.
I just mean it like they're happy with their jobs and drinking afternoons and kind of barbecues and whatever. All the stuff they were doing, we were part of. I found it to become more boring. And it doesn't mean you can't build a business, can't do those things. But I needed to surround myself with more entrepreneurial people. I needed to be surrounded and be challenged and learn from people like that are hustling and out there doing things. And I really had to expand and focus my friendships on people who were business owners that I related to in this new world better. I had to get away from people who make a lot of excuses, blame other people, and love drama and talking, you know. And sometimes it's not that it's a bad thing. It's just what it is. It's an anchor. And just realize you're never going to go as fast as you want as long as you keep anchors. And in your life, you're going to have to let that past go. It doesn't mean it can't come back, because the past has a real tricky way of doing that. But when you come back and reconnect with people that you had to let go for a while so you can grow and get your kind of expand, it's amazing how they'll interact with you when you come back a little more mature to where maybe they had wished they had gone in life, but didn't have the grit or desire or passion to do it. So I think that's a metaphor for don't worry about the thing yesterday, let alone don't worry about the life you've left the last year. Because if you're going to change it, change it. Don't sit on two chairs kind of thing. So.
Yeah. And it's scary too. And it's not comfortable, but I like that stuff.
No, it's not something that's comfortable to sit on two chairs. It's much easier to get on a new chair. New padding.
This is true.
Okay, here's kind of last. So we talked about kind of that. About how you, so knowing that you had things you had regrets, knowing thing that you had, you wish you had known some things or learned, what are you preparing for the future? How are you dealing with becoming better ahead of time? You know, how are you using your time machine, so to speak, for the future?
I know it's going to work out, period. As long as I get an image in my mind, I use my own philosophy. I understand my soul knowledge, my knowledge of my soul. When I get to the point where my conscious mind, which is the informational noise, starts going, I transfer it over. I have my how to do this. Just go over to the other mind, the subconscious imaginational mind, the universal mind, spirits and angels, which will then create those serendipities, accidents, and coincidences through different procedures, meditations, and other things. I can actually go there now. So the only reason the future will exist is that I understand my philosophy. I understand who I am, what I am, what my purpose is, and I'm relaxed. When you're relaxed and calm and quiet, everything will work out. That doesn't mean you don't have a goal. That doesn't mean you don't want to do a certain thing, whatever that thing is, whether it's money, whether it's a business, whether it's being an entertainer, what it doesn't really matter. You want to be a garbage man. It doesn't matter. But understand that it will happen and it all works out in the end. So I don't, as my grandma used to say, I'm not a scared anymore. I don't have that fear and worry. And when I do, I go into that process of procedure through my philosophy and understanding it's all going to work out in the end. Be patient. It will happen. As long as you get a good image in your mind and you keep it and practice it and you image it all the time. In my studio, I can't tell you how many times I've talked to Thomas. I can't tell you how many times I've talked to 20,000 people. I can't tell you how many times I've played in front of people over and over again. And you keep doing that, it will happen.
Do you, when you coach this, there's two aspects that I'll dive into with you. Because one is you'll see it. But not, you know, there's a few things. One, you know, having expectations of what you're building. Are you going to be a multimillionaire doing what you're going to do? Or are you going to accept that you're going to have a great lifestyle business? Probably make what you did in corporate world. But yet it's your time. You're free and you're happy. That's one. So just the expectations of your outcome. Two, it's the expectations of those close to you that you can't say no to, kids, family. That's a big one. So how do you do that? And I'm going to load this last question on you a little bit here, right? Is where do you keep the blinders off so you know when to evolve? Because some people may interpret with yours is, he said, just focus on the passion. I'm just going to focus on be patient. But if they don't ever evolve and they just say, this is what it's going to be, they're back to forcing it.
Well,
so how do you kind of keep those things together? Because those are certainly forces upon you when you're on that journey?
Well, that was great questions. It's almost like you should do this for a living. I had this number in my head, you know, make millions, right? Or whatever. And one of my best friends who went through the painstaking process of me testing him and checking out my philosophy and practicing on him and my wife and my family is like, wait a minute. So if you're going in this direction, trajectory up, and then the other person's going a little down with less work because I'm an older gentleman and my kids are all grown up, we got different ways, but then you're not spending time with your family and friends. How much do you want to sacrifice? If you want to make be worth $350 million, I don't care what anybody tells you. There's something to sacrifice.
You've got to sacrifice. A pound of flesh or more for that one.
That's right. And I mean, you've got family, friend, whatever the goal is. Well, I want to spend more time with my wife. I want to be able to do this. And my original goal, you're talking about money. I'll tell you right off the top. I'm not going to sell the exact number, but you'll understand. I just want to replace my engineering salary.
You want paid for your time and control the money. Yeah,
that's it. And to take the blinders off is interesting because there's certain things happening with the musical right now in the past couple of weeks with the production company and producer being interested. I don't know what the hell I'm doing, but I got somebody in my corner, this person that I'm working with, that she's like, don't worry about it. We'll be fine. And so it's getting, you know, you made a lot of excellent points, but one of your points are so good. I'd rather have one person supporting you and being positive than 100 people around your neck bringing you down. It's so, that doesn't mean those, like Thomas was saying, doesn't mean bad people. It doesn't mean that. It just, you can't bring everybody with you.
You're just trying to take off and they're too heavy for your plane.
Yeah. And I don't have enough energy. I mean, this stuff, I'll tell you another thing with the listeners, this stuff takes more mental energy, and I'm not complaining, than I ever have in my life. So at the end of the day, I'm exhausted, but I'm not physically exhausted. I'm like, I got to watch something stupid on TV. I got to put a movie on. I play music. Whatever it is that you do. Do you just, you understand what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely. I don't think I've watched the news. It was a week after all the stuff that's going on in the Middle East right now, right? That's going on before I even really knew what was going on. Cause I don't look at any news until it's forced onto my phone and then it's probably world news and I look at it. And, I intentionally do that. And so we'll watch this stupid stuff, but definitely for me, it's like, you know, at the end of the day and you're like, I am so tired. And she's like, why? I'm like, cause I'm on all day. Like you're full on thinking. Agreed. All right. Speed round. We're going to wrap this up. This has been fun. This has been a good conversation.
Thank you. This has been great.
All right. Hot seat. Are you ready for this?
No, but go ahead anyway.
All right. The following questions are intended for the use of finding sponsors for future. So as an entrepreneur up and coming, people waste a lot of time and money on things. So I'm going to help. You're going to help some people focus here. What's your favorite scheduling technology?
Acuity.
Favorite CRM?
I don't have anything there.
Yeah, I kind of skipped it. I went to MailChimp myself.
Yeah, it's all right.
Favorite business book?
How to Stop Worrying and Start Living by Dale Carnegie.
Nice. Good. Known author if you haven't read a few hundred of his books. Favorite quote?
I've got several of them, but I like this from Leonard Bernstein. Music can name the unnameable and communicate the unknowable.
That's a pretty soft quote right there.
I love that.
Languages too. It works.
Yeah.
Who's your favorite up and coming person on LinkedIn?
You know, I can't really pick anybody. I think what I look for, and I have my own podcast like you do, and I'm interviewing people. I just like people with new ideas and concepts and can communicate it really well. And most people believe in something spiritually, whether they call it God or anything else. You call it a cup of coffee. But they understand that there's something involved. So I don't have a specific person, but I love to talk to people like yourself who have a connection going, everything will be okay. So I don't really have a specific person.
Okay. All right. Three most important entrepreneurial traits.
There's so many of them. I would say a good mind mentor group, your wife, your friends, your family, whoever that is. Got to have a good mind mentor group. Read positive material. Stay away from everything negative. And as Thomas has alluded before, eliminate all the negative. If it's family, eliminate the time that you're spending with them. If it's not just working very well, but eliminate all the negativity in your life because you can't change the world, but you sure as heck can change yourself from the inside out.
Favorite bank? Okay, I'm going to answer that one. This episode is brought to you by Chase Bank locally here. Just kidding. Don't answer that. I want Chase Bank to sponsor, and I don't want to hear your answer unless it's Chase.
I love Chase.
Me too.
Okay.
They've been so good to me. They gave us lines of credit before I think we established revenue on paper. Like they were so easy to work with.
Wow.
They're not really sponsoring it, but they should.
That's right.
Get that checkbook out, baby. Come on.
That's right. It'll happen.
They make them.
Well, it'll happen.
Wait, listen, as we got here, about a minute or so left here, you know, how do they get a hold of you? Any special offers or giveaways you want to talk about? The floor is yours for the next 90 seconds.
Well, there's no special offers because I don't like special offers. BogleRecords.com. You can see my podcast show. You can email me at BogleRecords@gmail.com. You can call me 331-251-1125. If you're interested in something different, something that's unique that make you want to know to make your business or your family or your friends or your life more unique than anybody else and not be on automatic, give me a call.
That's a great way to say it. Get life off automatic. That'd be a good tagline for you. Philip, thank you so much for joining. I've enjoyed every time we've gotten to speak, and I really do appreciate the time you coming on the Never Been Promoted podcast today.
Thomas, I really appreciate it. I love the conversation. I love the rounds. Anybody, if you're not going to do this with Thomas, you're crazy. Get on his show. It really gets your mind thinking because that's what you need.
Thanks, Philip. Have a great one. Thank you guys, everyone, for listening. And we'll be back with Never Been Promoted on another day.
Thanks for listening to Never Been Promoted with Thomas Helfrich. Make sure to check the show notes for our guest contact information and any relevant links. Connect with Thomas personally at neverbeenpromoted.com.
Thanks again to instantlyrelevant.com for producing the show, all the social media, all the content posts, articles, everything. Could not do it without you. Instantlyrelevant.com. Check it out. They're awesome. Once again, instantlyrelevant.com.